September 5th, I'd like to call to order a regular scheduled meeting of the Maricopa Township Board of Trustees. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. All right. Were there any additions or amendments to the agenda that is proposed tonight?
I have none.
All right. And then I'll make a motion to any corrections or adjustments to our minutes from our last meeting of August 21st.
I'll make a
motion to accept the minutes of our meeting from August 21st, 2023.
Second.
Seconded by Lang. On the motion, Lang.
Yes.
Dickery.
Yes.
Herschel.
Yes. All right. Fiscal officer has submitted bills totaling $326,306.73.
$323.
I'm reading off the report here.
Oh.
Doesn't it say 323?
$326.
But your summary says 323.
Uh oh.
Yeah, you got two different ones.
326, Chuck, you got it right.
Good job, Chuck Herschel.
Input error on the Word document.
All right.
Thank you.
$326,306.73.
Second.
Seconded by Dickery. On the motion, Herschel.
Yes.
Dickery.
Yes.
Lang.
Yes. Chuck, can I bring something up?
I just had a question. Yeah. The 121,000 Northwest Ohio Energy Improvement District.
That is a special assessment that, if you remember, through like the PACE program,
right,
through the Port Authority. The
energy improvements.
So we collect the special assessment and then we just reimburse it to the Northwest Ohio Advanced Energy Improvement District.
So that's collected through property tax.
Yeah, so it's just a pass-through. It's not, it is an expense to us with the fake revenue, but we're
in the PACE program.
Yeah.
We passed a resolution long ago that put us in that. We discussed that at the CLOUT meeting, and some townships are not part of the PACE program. That might be something, Kathleen, we want to put in our newsletter in the future so that businesses may take advantage of.
It's not just businesses, it's residential.
It's residential too, right.
There's two here. There's a big roof project out at the airport, but there is a residential in here.
You have the opportunity. It's quite an opportunity, but we should share the information about it. And I just wanted to bring up, along with the bills, something we discussed in working session, which is $5,200 is going for a CDL for our maintenance supervisor. And I'm happy to pay it. That was part of the agreement. But 180 days ago, we discussed he may not need that CDL. And I just want the administrator to feel free to revisit the issue. And if he and the maintenance supervisor decide that a CDL isn't necessary at Class A level, they can adjust, or they can bring it back to this board in 2 weeks and we can all discuss it again. And I think Trudy is in that same camp with me, that we're flexible.
Agreed.
You can surely send if it's that important, but we were flexible 180 days ago, and we remain flexible.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, sorry.
Gavin, we have any correspondence?
Wait, 1 second. Do we have to make that right now or not?
Well, can I?
He'll get to it.
You must sit in between two women, don't you?
Well, he almost said no. He almost broke
he
down
almost
and said no.
Okay.
There is no correspondence this meeting.
All right. Fiscal officer report, and do you have any other action items?
I do, since we received our second half property tax settlement, so we have excess money in our operating account, so I'd like to transfer $1.5 million into the Star Ohio account.
I move to approve the transfer of $1.5 million from Signature Bank operating account to the Star Ohio account.
Second.
Seconded by Vickery. On the motion, Lang.
Yes.
Herschel.
Yes.
Vickery.
Yes.
All right. Under old business, our legal counsel continues to make progress for the residential TIF update at for the 20A and Albin roundabout. Also at the Lucas County Township Association meeting, we had a conversation with Anita Lopez and Matt Thal from the auditor's office, and they can track all of those acreage splits, lot splits, the housing development, so that we'll be able to track all of that. In the working session, we discussed with our with our administrator about engaging the viewer group to get us a quote for a redeveloping our fine-tuning our or updating I guess our plan for our park improvements, and we're going to get in, I guess, wish list items to Harold to incorporate them so Kent can and his team can develop some costs associated with all of those.
Yeah, or Kent could send to us I want to say a survey of like priorities. Like he would know better that park benches are required for this sort of thing. So if he sent us, what are your priorities, and we could pick from a list that a rural community with 15,000 residents and two parks, you know, it's not like we have 20 parks, we have two parks. What's the so our wish list might include a water park, but that doesn't make any sense for our community. So I would like Kent to start the conversation, I guess is what I'm saying. Chuck put together a wish list, we've seen Trudy's wish list. And they don't have anything like a water park on them. I'm not really worried about it. I just thought maybe the direction would be helpful. I'll stop talking.
Well, I will say that Trustee Herschel did make a good start to this.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been talking to the residents what they would like within reason. So I want to compliment Chuck here on his homework on starting a good priority list of just basic stuff. There's nothing real fancy on here.
Like
there's
a
not a $200,000 water park. There's benches. There's recycling cans, park benches, and other stuff. So Chuck, I think, did a real nice job starting this project out.
Yeah. And Harold, I did share with Doug that, you know, recycling is a great idea, but and I'm all supportive of it, but unless, you know, we want them driving over to Springfield to dump our cans and bottles, so if we could, you know, maybe solid waste, just place one canister somewhere, one green bin, so we can.
Okay.
All right.
I'm gonna about the pickleball courts. Barbara, you had already left, but Harold shared with us that the windscreens will be in tomorrow, along with the pickleball courts. So hopefully, the last 8 weeks of pickleball will be a little bit easier.
Also under old business, did have a conversation with the general contractor we talked about. He has told us that he'll get us some preliminary plans, Matt, this week on some of the improvements when we did the walkthrough, updating the locker room and equipment storage over there and other things. So, and then also under old business, Harold shared with us some information. You have a line on a Horton ambulance, maybe?
Yes, we're working now with the sales person on a couple items as far as what we could do to change it just a slight bit for some additions to us that makes it a little more set up similar to what we have. And then we'll get back with her. She's getting the final price list together for us with the couple requested changes that were on there, and then it has a potential availability at the end of October.
Where are they located at?
Horton's out of, I think it's Grove City, outside of Columbus.
So, yes.
I also was, Matt, I was sharing with Harold during the working session. I had a conversation last week with Captain McNutt from White House. His brother was in town, he's a firefighter in Washington State.
Mm-hmm.
he said that they actually, due to the shortages that everybody's experiencing, goes what they did is they took a old box from an ambulance and put it on a new chassis.
Mm-hmm. We did talk with some of the vendors about that. The current medic unit that we have, the box is a different vendor, so they said that could be an option to look at as well. They would have to redo some of the wiring and that, because it's a McCoy Miller and it would not be McCoy Miller doing the remount, because they're actually not really in business any longer. So that is a potential option in the process of looking at it. If we can acquire the chassis, which we do have, as I mentioned in the meeting last time, that we did have some opportunities to get a little more priority on the ambulance chassis purchasing as opposed to what the maintenance department's run into with the trying to get the trucks and the dump truck chassis.
And I don't care to speak for my fellow trustees, but I think I'm generalizing when we say, you know, if you come to us an option, something like that, thinking out of the box, that, hey, this gets us where we need to be. You know, maybe it's an older box, so we got a new chassis, and, you know, it gets us a ambulance back in service that's mechanically sound and a sooner, and, you know, maybe there's a lower price tag to it. I think this board would strongly consider that.
Yeah, some of the companies have put off the remounts or pushed them back so that they can concentrate on their new builds and put more of their staff to the new builds. So some of it's delayed, but we've heard that that is an option, and it would be something that we can look at as well.
I think that would almost take a longer time frame to do a retrofit than to just buy one up new, ready to go on the road. It might be something you might want to look into for a backup.
All right, any other old business items? All right, under new business items, got a discussion here. I want to have a conversation with our zoning inspector. Springfield Township recently put in an update to their overlay district for Spring Meadows, and I had an opportunity to talk to Trustee Bethel and Administrator Hampton over there, and just kind of what they're doing with updates at Spring Meadows is, you know, for example, monument signing is going to be a requirement now. It's going to be backlit, so it minimizes light pollution versus pole sign. And they're using the Boston Market right there as an example. So right now there's a pole up on a light, so I guess that corner is under contract to be redeveloped. So whoever redevelops it, there's going to be a nice monument sign there, similar to the bank across the street. The parking lot lights will be cones, so shaped shining down to minimize light pollution. And then they also put in some additional requirements as far as, you know, landscaping being irrigated, so over the years that it, you know, looks nice. And I wanted to have this conversation. I know we have a current overlay district along 20A, but with the development that's going to follow the interchange opening, you know, is this, Eric, you know, what do we have in place now, and what do we, you know, what would this board like to see as far as improvements to keep that area, you know, highly desirable, looking good? You know, I'll use it to the, other corner where the strip center's at, you know, that's got a nice monument sign out front and, you know, well maintained and landscaped as well.
Yeah, currently our overlay district forbids pole signs already, the existing one.
Okay.
And there is some landscape requirements in our current overlay district, but mainly our Section 13, which was updated fairly recently, has very, very extensive landscape requirements, and so that is something we already have. The only thing we don't have that you mentioned is we don't have an irrigation requirement. What the requirement that we do have is that if the plants are not native or drought resistant, that they need to be irrigated. So if somebody did like what I'll call oak openings type, like, you know, oaks and things like that that are native to the area, they don't need an irrigation requirement currently under our code. But things that are not native or not drought resistant already have to be irrigated. But we could always modify that particular part.
Did you see what
what
Chuck turned in?
Because some of the things, like, you know, for example, because I know you had received some inquiries about a gas station potentially at the northeast corner of 28 and Briarfield, but like I said, you know, gas station canopy shall utilize high quality materials and support structures to feature masonry type, such as brick or stone versus the traditional metal poles.
Right, right. That would be something we don't currently have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chuck, part of yours is highlighted and...
Well, that was highlighted, actually, the updates from Springfield.
Okay, so all the yellow and the cross out is what was changed.
Correct.
So can Eric review that and bring to us a better overlay district?
Yeah, I guess, and that's why I wanted to have this conversation. So some of the things about, you know, it says landscaping is recommended around the freestanding. But as far as some of the, you know, I know... when the Andersons moved their headquarters, we had quite a bit of discussion around lighting. So
we didn't get it good enough.
Canopy lighting and, you know, freestanding lighting shall be shoebox style. And I don't even know what shoebox style lighting
is. I think shoebox is like below to the ground. It almost looks like a shoebox. It's like small and kind of low.
Kind of like what they did, I think, at Myers on Conant Street.
Yeah.
With all the poles with the shorter boxes on those.
Yeah.
We need to add, which, you know, Springfield, I'm sure, missed.
Light poles not to exceed 20 feet. I mean,
We don't have that. We don't have a height restriction on light poles currently. What we do have is that they're not supposed to have spillover, but we don't have a height restriction on light poles currently.
Okay.
And our real problem is that they have a building that's lit all night and they don't
have
blinds, so I'm sure they don't have that in there. So something like that should be added too. We learned that lesson.
Yeah, that's the tough one, is the buildings. It's not so much, you can control the parking lot lights pretty well, but the buildings themselves, if they're taller, that can be harder.
How often do you review our overlay districts and what's most current?
I look at our zoning resolution all the time. I keep up with the zoning. And basically, our Section 13 is very up-to-date landscaping-wise, and that bolsters the overlay because you have to follow...
your own zoning code.
Yeah, you got to follow our Section 13 as well as the overlay district.
Well, I would surely like you to compare
and
contrast.
I can do that.
It's better.
Yeah, no problem.
Add curtains to your building.
Add curtains.
Yeah.
Let me write that down.
It's not quite curtains, but you know what I'm saying.
Blinds or whatever.
That building, the lighting from the parking lot, we protected. That's not the problem. The building is the problem.
Right.
But yeah, I guess, and I guess that's why I wanted to have discussion out here. You know, as far as some of the, you know, like on the signs, you know, monument signs should be constructed high quality materials, sign base utilize masonry such as brick stone, but also to be backlit. I mean, I guess what, and I'll get, you know, Trustee Vickery, Trustee Lang's opinion as well, but, you know, kind of take what you think are some, how can we enhance or upgrade our current overlay district with some of these ideas, you know, because like I said, I think once that area in 20A, you know, once that interchange opens, we're going to see a lot of, it's going to be a high demand area, and we want to keep it, you know, hey, here's the standards from the get-go.
We need to get it in place sooner than later because things are going to be, as soon as that interchange opens, and it takes this board and the zoning seems like a long time to implement these type of things. So this would be a top priority because there are parcels of land that are being purchased now, and the people should be made aware of the regulations and the rules before they sign on the dotted line that they want that parcel.
Next meeting is what she's saying, right? Next meeting.
I guess a question. So just...
weren't you kind of saying that?
30 days, 60 at the most. How's that?
But modifications to our overlay district, those go down to the Plan Commission.
They do.
Do they go through the normal
Plan
Commission, Zoning Commission?
Us.
Here.
So it takes quite a long time.
At least 90 days, so...
Yeah. I'll work on this and get it back as soon as I possibly can.
And that's when?
I don't know exactly when that would be, but as soon as...
6 days?
I'll try my very best to get it as quick. I mean...
No, she just makes a really good point, right? Yeah. That when the exit opens, it's too late.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, because you, like I said, you've had some inquiries already about, you know, potential gas station there. So if they're looking at our current overlay district, oh, yeah, we can do this and this, and, you know, based on that, I can build a station for X. Yeah. When they say, well, gee, I got to... I got to do stone masonry. I got to do this. I got to do a monument sign that's backlit. That's going to cost me. So they can do that and make a good business decision. Like I said, well, I think we want to be business friendly, but we also want to keep the area high quality and just attractive as well.
Especially since I guess I didn't realize, Barbara, that it goes down to the commissioners and then back to the zoning, then back to us.
Right, so that's 30 days, 30 days, 30 days.
So the sooner we start the process here, the quicker we can implement what needs to be changed.
It's just a few tweaks.
It is. But I'll get right on it and get it back as quick as I possibly can.
Yeah, and I guess my other question, so our current 20A overlay district, how far west does that go, Eric?
To the boundaries of the township.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's fine. I was thinking with Bucks, but if it goes all the way to the...
expressway to Mommy or White House Spencer, basically, okay. Or wherever that, yeah, right, the western so boundary would be. Yeah.
And Chuck's focused on 20A, but we also have a Monclova Road overlay district that probably needs all these same improvements.
The Monclova Road Overlay District, yeah, it's actually a little newer than the 20A one, but it would probably
it's on the signage and the lighting, I think, as well, especially with Monclova Road being more residential, yeah.
Yeah, I can work on updating.
20A is really residential, too.
Yeah, we get down to the four quarters at Albin, and, you know, it butts if that ever develops as well. Yeah.
20A District, Monclova Road.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
We set a soft target for you, Eric, of October 2nd.
Soft target. Maybe two meetings?
September 18th, but that's a soft target. We'll do a hard target of October 2nd. How about that?
Mm-hmm. Sounds good to me.
I mean, I will try my very best to get it as good as I possibly can.
Don't make me go Yoda on you. You do or do not, we don't try, right?
Yeah. I don't think that's a very good statement. I always disagree with Yoda. Do or do
all right,
not.
Any other... just also then wanted to give an update from the Lucas County Township Association meeting last week. Sheriff Navarro was in attendance. He gave an update on the acquisition or transition of the former Highway Patrol post on Airport Highway, which was in the township, into what he called a precinct station. It is his intention to have that staff, it sounds like 24/7. They'll have daily roll call. There'll be detectives on there and shift changes and all of that. So we're going to have some further discussions on what that means for the office located here. I think as the township continues to grow, that we see potentially a need for that office space. So is that sheriff's deputy's office here? Is that something that can be located out there? We do have available office space at the maintenance building, but, you know, we're going to at least have a discussion and see how we can best utilize and partner with the sheriff on that. Also, Matt Hireman, from Lucas County was in attendance, and Matt, if I'm speaking incorrectly here, you were there as well. But two things that I took out of that, they're ready to move forward on that because of Toledo's, Toledo won't be ready in January 2nd. Toledo will be ready to transition, so on July 1st, so that's kind of pushing the whole thing back. Sounds like all the other entities are ready to move forward. So that will begin next year in July. Also, the $402,000 that we were or are scheduled to receive, what was originally thought to be a 3 to 5 year contract, will be an evergreen contract. So that was something.
Explain what evergreen means.
Forever and ever, amen. So that is something that we can use in our planning and budgeting going forward. It sounded like the entities are all, everybody wants paramedics. Is that a fair assessment, Matt?
Yes. Yeah. The evergreen agreement was what they added after the meeting with all the jurisdictions, like we did in all the regions. And it has a 2 year notice, so you'd have to give them 2 year notice, or they would have to give 2 year notice of terminating the agreement. They also built in, the discussions with all the jurisdictions, they built in a plan for increasing the funding based on the sales tax, and set up a schedule basically where if the county sales tax decreased, we wouldn't see a decrease in the payment. They would continue to pay at the same level, and then if there was an increase, they would go up a maximum of 2% for the increase of the funds. And yeah, most
so not a true COLA, but we would see some increase with that over time.
Right, right. If they based it instead of on some of the different factors, just on the revenue generated from the sales tax. So it allows them to then kind of recoup their losses a little bit if there's declines in it, but they would not change the funding that was given if they had a decline. If we had an increase, the maximum the increase would be 2% each year.
And also I guess a couple of things, that the ambulance lottery won't happen until probably next fall after Toledo's transition.
And everybody's still kind of on pace except for Toledo to try to make the move towards the beginning of the year. We have meetings set up to go over our response plans in preparation for that and what changes we would need to make in the system so that they have all of that in place prior to January. So I have a meeting scheduled with the county on September 21st to go over our department to try to get that done and get everybody else scheduled for that. And yeah, Toledo, I mean, there's just a lot of changes that they have to make based on moving vehicles around or moving personnel around. So it was kind of the way the chief explained it, that, you know, one simple change in moving a vehicle to another station, some of the vehicles are tied to people for bids and others are tied to stations for bids. So if they move a vehicle from one station to another, they have to move a vehicle out of that station to somewhere else, and then that causes them to have to rebid stations and all that. So a lot more changes they have on their side than most of the other suburban departments.
And then once the funding stream is in place, we said probably twice a year that we receive our remuneration from the county, probably 30 days after the collection period.
They basically wanted to have the first, the payment would come in April, so that they have in the contract a way to kind of review your response times and your ability to deliver the ALS, so that they weren't going to pay right at the beginning of the year. They wanted to see how your response went, and then their preference would be to do a one payment.
Right. Yeah, and Matt, one other thing we discussed in the working session, and you might be able to track this, but how many of our, if I'm understanding this, whoever transports gets the billing, right?
Whoever performs the transport, yes.
So
including when we started doing the bariatric transports after we bought the bariatric cot, if we get called out for that and they're in our rig, it's a billable run for us.
Not knowing how many transports in the past have been in my Clover Township calls that maybe we responded to where the county transported. You know, MediCount does our billing, but, you know, could we see any significant or, you know, is it irrelevant the amount of revenue we might receive from insurance billings?
No, I would say that we should see an increase. I'm not prepared to give you a number about it, but since we do transport currently both ALS and BLS, but at times where we have multiple calls going on and that you know, having the multiple staff rigs with the paramedic providers on it gives us the opportunity then to take in that income or that revenue from the transports, the additional transports that we couldn't do currently.
Okay. Anything else that I think as a sounds like most of the chiefs are viewing this as a positive.
Yeah, it still looks as, like I said, basically the goal was to improve the delivery of service and the response times and kind of moving to the regional concept and putting the ALS in the fire stations, as opposed to, you know, our closest ALS provider could come out of Maumee, Springfield, or White House, or if they're all busy, Toledo or Sylvania. So now that we'll have multiple units ALS capable to serve our area, our region, as well as Maumee would have the same in the region, and it gives a lot better service to you. So it speeds up the response to the residents on those most critical calls, the ALS calls.
Okay. All right. Any other new business items? All right. Township Administrator.
Yes, I have some items for you this evening. The deadline is approaching for us to submit our application for OPWC funding for our 2025 resurfacing project. I've been working on this with the county for a while now. Our 2025 project is Winterborne Station, Crystal Ridge, Brandywine, Deer Ridge, and Deer Valley for a total of 4 miles. We will be submitting an application, a joint application with the county. The county's portion includes North Jerome Road and Technology Drive. We'll be requesting 39.4% OPWC share, which will be 50% grant, 50% loan. Total estimated cost of the project is $2,421,000. Lucas County's portion is estimated at $629,500, and the township's share $1,791,500. We'll be committing $1,086,000 in our local resources and requesting $706,000 in OPWC assistance. And the county engineer will be committing $381,400 in local resources and requesting $248,064 in OPWC assistance. So we've got the application almost ready to go. They've changed some of the rules this year. So some of the things that are different, always in the past, our loans were 10% zero interest loans. But under the new rules, the loan term can be extended to the useful life of the project. The useful life of this project is 18 years, so we'll be asking for 18-year 0% interest loan. It doesn't affect our points. So Gavin and I talked about it, and it just made sense. Might as well extend it. We also have to now let them know how we're going to promote the project. Since this is all public money, they'd like the projects to be promoted. So
we're committing. Through social media or through?
We told them that we would promote it via news media, our website, and social media.
So the county has got a little gnome roundabout Ron?
Yes.
Have you seen? And the county engineer puts a little picture of this little gnome with a high-vis vest on.
Oh, okay.
One orange. His cap is orange. His name is Roundabout Ron, and they show him at all the various roundabout under construction in town. So, Kathleen,
so,
I'll let you run with that one, Kathleen.
So this is our 2025 road project. We need to approve the authorizing legislation this evening.
Wow.
Yep, I have four of them.
You going to read them?
Move to approve resolution 09052023, authorizing the administrator to prepare some application to participate in OPWC state capital improvement and or local transportation improvement program to execute contracts as required for Crystal Ridge, Winterborne Station, Deer Valley, Villas at Deer Valley, and Brandywine Subdivision and North Jerome and Technology Road Resurfacing Project.
That's 01.
Right.
Second.
Seconded by Vickery on the motion. Lang?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes.
Vickery?
Yes.
Next, we are also working on the OPWC application for the roundabout at Monclova and Waterville, Monclova. In June, we signed a joint cooperation agreement with the county. And in that agreement, we agreed to execute documents and act as the lead agency for any outside funding. We've already secured $500,000 for that project from TEMACOG. We're requesting $303,000 from OPWC. We will be contributing $71,376 to the local share. The county is contributing $17,844 to the local share, as well as $70,000 for right-of-way acquisition and $127,000 in design and engineering costs. But we have to submit the application pursuant to the joint cooperation agreement that we signed.
Harold, since this is right there adjacent to the school, and I know the funding cycle is all, but is there a way to do this between June and August? Since it's right adjacent to the school there.
I'm sure that that's what they'll try to do. They won't be in this one.
Well, the only reason I ask is the city of Maumee just started one last week. It's adjacent to Gateway Middle School.
That's the city of Maumee.
I'm just, but I know there's state monies involved in that too, and there's a lot of moving parts. But,
we usually do try to do our road projects when they're not going to interfere with the school buses. So it doesn't always work out that way, but I'm sure. But I'll throw that out there. So there's,
yeah.
Is this running also in regards to the sewer coming down Monclova also? I mean, timing-wise, the sewer / roundabout, so they're not ripping everything up again?
They're aware of. Sanitary engineer is aware of the county engineer's project and vice versa, though. Yes.
Okay. Hate to rip up new blacktop.
Yes.
I move to approve resolution 09052023-02, authorizing administrator to prepare and submit an application to participate in the OPWC State Capital Improvement and or Local Transportation Improvement Program to execute contracts as required for the Mount Clover Road at Waterville Mount Clover Roundabout Project.
Second.
Seconded by Vickery on the motion. Herschel?
Yes.
Lang?
Yes.
Vickery?
Yes.
Thank you.
And I, just on that also, I did have a conversation with Harold earlier today just inquiring about a maintenance agreement. He's going to reach out to the county. He thinks that this is going to be a mini roundabout. There may not be any landscaping in the center.
I don't think it will have landscaping in the center, but I did send an email to Mike Stormer at the county engineer's office letting him know that we're interested in being involved in the process if there is landscaping, and that we're also interested in a maintenance agreement with them on it when the time comes. So I already sent that out to Mike Stormer earlier today. The next two resolutions, as I said earlier, OPWC has changed some of their standing rules. There is now a requirement of a resolution of intent. Typically, when payment on our projects, when payment is due a contractor, we pay our share directly to the contractor. We send a request to OPWC. They pay their share directly to the contractor. Well, the county does it differently. I don't know why, but the county pays the entire amount. and then they get reimbursed by OPWC. And because of that, now OPWC requires this resolution of intent, and basically it's just saying, if you're being reimbursed any money by OPWC, you promise to put it back into the account that it came out of. You're not going to take it out of your road and bridge fund and pay a contractor, and then when OPWC pays you, put it back in your general fund. You have to put it back where you got it. That's what this is. It really doesn't affect us because we don't pay them that way, but it's a new requirement. So I've got two of them, one for this year's project and one for next year's project.
You don't have can't do a blanket resolution for everything going forward, or we need to do this specifically for each?
Got to do them individually.
Wow. Who came up with this?
New rules.
I move to approve Resolution 090502023-03, declaring the official intent and reasonable expectation of Monclova Township on behalf of the state of Ohio, the borrower, to reimburse its road and bridge fund for the CL4AA Cross Creek Homestead at the Quarry and Stonebrook subdivisions and Salisbury Road project with the proceeds of tax exempt debt of the state of Ohio. Nice resolution. Because when I made it up on the top of my head last meeting, it turned out really badly, if we recall.
Seconded by Vickery on the motion. Vickery?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes.
Lang?
Yes. I move to approve Resolution 090520023-04, declaring the official intent and reasonable expectation of Monclova Township on behalf of the state of Ohio, the borrower, to reimburse its road and bridge fund for the CL11AA-CL12AA Waterside and Old Town Subdivision and Briarfield Boulevard resurfacing projects with the proceeds of tax-exempt debt of the state of Ohio.
Second.
Seconded by Vickery on the motion. Lang?
Yes.
Vickery?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes.
Thank you. That's all I have requiring formal action this evening. The rest of my memo is information. Happy to answer any questions you may have.
I guess a couple of questions on the Van Fleet ditch crossing.
Mm-hmm.
So, if I'm understanding is, the box culverts would support an ambulance driving over there.
Yes.
You know, do we, A, is that, and this is something maybe we can, you know, as part of Buer in his comprehensive plan, but, you know, what would support, what do we call it, the Buell? We have over there our little off-road vehicle, or
the bridge that I am now proposing that they're working on will support a vehicle like that. Yes.
Okay.
ATV, UTV.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right.
Or people walking across with their bag of necessary items.
Mm-hmm.
Or I did assume, Harold, that this would top the priority list when you handed it to Bjork.
Yes. The county engineer is working on it for us.
Right.
Based on the...
But the plan is going to have price tags attached to it and priorities,
yeah.
And I would just think this would be number one.
Yes.
For sure.
Yes.
And then also our, I see these signs that are done at Homestead, but are our paving projects completed for the year?
Probably not yet. I mean, I haven't been notified that they're completed.
I mean, I just saw the signs in Salisbury at the entrance of the Homestead and Stonebrook are gone, saying construction ahead, or...
Well...
They maybe need to do some touch-up around the manholes and curb repair.
I don't know. Not sure.
All right. Any other questions of Harold?
I see we got rid of the chairs.
We did. They finally came and picked them up.
Good.
As a matter of fact, Jennifer tells me they're... there are 60 other chairs that were stored someplace else that are, some of them are broken and damaged, and she said they expressed an interest in those as well. And I said, if they want them, come get them. So they gave us $1 apiece for them.
All right. That completes our agenda. Are there any comments from any of our questions, concerns of our audience members regarding our agenda tonight? Mr. Schuster of Strayer Lane, yes.
Ready to stand up and go up there?
The microphones will pick you up.
Oh, okay. Schuster, 3241 Strayer Road. Just a question. Who puts together the list of what of our roads and streets need repaving? How does that work?
Well, the maintenance supervisor does an annual, he's out about looking at the streets all the time, but when the time comes, we do an annual evaluation of the roads. He puts together a list. Then we take that to the county engineer's office. They have the engineers and the expertise to review that list and either agree that that's the right approach or say, well, you know, you've got a road over here that should probably go ahead of this. But we have a five-year plan, so they're scheduled out 5 years in advance.
Well, the reason for asking, and I couldn't remember which meeting of each month the sheriff comes, but it's the second meeting, which I will be here because, and I talked about it before to you, I think, 18-wheelers coming down the Strayer Road. They're not supposed to. There's a sign there. I'd like to make a bigger one, a flashing light or something, but probably right as you go off of Salisbury going south, there's already a pretty good-sized pothole there, maybe a foot. And those big trucks are just going to make that road deteriorate faster and faster. But I'm glad to know that Doug and his guys are the ones that watch over it and look and make the right recommendations. But I'm going to ask the sheriff to patrol it as much as they can.
Well, I will send them an email before I go home this evening and point that out to them. But certainly, yes, come to the next meeting. And
he's just not always there. He just doesn't always come.
Yeah.
So if you're expecting him and he's not here, you'll be disappointed. So, yes, Harold, follow up on that. And is Strayer ours? Strayer is our road?
Yeah.
Yes.
So let Doug know that the pothole needs filled.
Yes. I wasn't aware that there was a pothole there. But
it's fairly close to Salisbury before you get to the S bend there.
Which could be fixed already.
It's right off of Strayer. Just
east or west side of the road of Strayer?
It's
your side
east
of the church.
East side. My side.
Your side.
It's
your
my
side.
Road. Okay. I'm the one that seems to take care of it, or try to.
Important side.
I will send Doug an email about that before I go home this evening as well.
Well, with that then, the sign that's up there, I think it said it's one of those warnings for trucks, but can there be a, there's got to be some options of a different one, bigger, different.
Right, like no through wording. Trucks, right, or something.
Yeah, something. This is kind of
we
interpretable.
We follow a book called the Ohio Manual of Uniform Traffic Control Devices. And that book tells you the appropriate sign, the appropriate place, the appropriate size. Generally don't deviate from that, but I'll ask.
There's always options. I'll look when I go home to see if it's still there, and I'll let you know on our meeting Thursday. Thank you.
For coming.
Are you going to join the Historical Foundation Board? Have your rest? You've rested and recuperated, and
I've
now you're coming back?
I've been for 9 years. You see, Bob, that was on the board forever and off and back again. It's not doing well at all.
No, he's in the nursing home.
Oh, no, I don't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jennifer is pretty well up to date.
Yes.
All right, I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Seconded by Lang on the motion. Herschel?
Yes.
Vickery?
Yes.
Lang?
Yes.